Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Let's Talk Local, where we discuss local issues in our communities. I'm your host, Dumema.
And I'm your co-host, Khadija.
Today, we'll be talking about police brutality in Canada, and we'll be looking at specific local incidents that actually involve police brutality. And stay tuned, because at the end, we'll be making a special announcement. So, cops and the justice system. Khadija, what do we think?
Well, I kind of actually like cops, and I know that our thoughts on this differ, but yeah. I think that it is our justice system that needs reform, because personally, I've had some of the really good experiences with cops, and I like to look at this topic from the point of view of few bad apples, because I think that just because we see few incidents of police brutality, we kind of label the whole police community in that light. And I feel like we need to come out of that mindset, because I know I'm here trying to defend, I look like I'm trying to defend police, but at the same time, I want to say that I'm not defending the police brutality. I'm defending the police officers that actually do good in the community, and they're not appreciated for it. Because I do want to mention, my dream career happens to be a police officer. So what are your thoughts? Because I know our thoughts differ on this. So
yeah, I have completely different thoughts. I don't like cops. I really don't. I mean, I understand that there are like some instances where they are good, I guess, but this concept of there's just a few bad apples, it doesn't define the whole community. I don't like that. I don't agree with it. I think it's just, we don't see that example anywhere else. You know what I mean? Like it seems like it only ever is applied to cops and police officers, and I don't think it's the justice system that's the problem, because Canadian law seems to be pretty just in my opinion, or at least it's starting to be, because I know back in the day it really wasn't. I do think that police enforcement needs reform and it needs to be defunded.
So we just want to interject before moving on, this is a trigger warning, since we will be discussing sensitive subjects, including racism, obviously police brutality, and some graphic content. So for individuals who feel that there might be sensitive to these situations, please
just skip.
Skip
until the end, because we have a special announcement.
All right, so let's look at one of the biggest incidents that blew up, I believe, last June. And I'm 100% sure all of you are aware of it. It is the George Floyd case, where the police officer, I believe his name is Derek Chauvin, put his knee on George Floyd's neck, and he even said that I cannot breathe. He wasn't resisting. He was literally begging for his life at that point. But the police officer did not get off, and unfortunately, we lost George Floyd. We want to discuss that recently, not even recently, but like we heard that he has been released from custody after posting a $1 million bond. Now, I know I said I love cops and all, but in this case, I do believe that the police, that this officer should most definitely bear the consequences. Because when someone is begging for their life, you should use your professional judgment and understand that this is a case where you need to calm the hell down. I'm sorry, but like that police officer does not deserve that job. He was there for the safety of the community, and if he cannot perform his job properly, he does not deserve to be a cop. And regarding the protests that took place for the Black Lives Matter, I 100% support them, because I believe there was one that happened in Brampton. A lot of them happened in America for sure, but a lot of them took place in Canada as well. And I wholeheartedly support it, because I do believe that a lot of times Black people or African Americans are not given the rights that they deserve, and especially when it comes to the police community. So I think that's something that should be looked at and should be taken into account. But also that police officers who are not performing their job properly when it comes to the safety of the community should not be police officers.
Yeah, so I'm actually from Waterloo. And Waterloo Kitchener did have a Black Lives Matter protest June 3rd. I still remember. I went to that protest. I know a lot of my friends, they did not, just because of COVID. And that's the thing, like when you have such like two political, because I mean, I know it's not supposed to be political, but Black Lives Matter is not supposed to be a political movement. It should not really be something that is debatable, and neither should COVID, yet somehow they are both grouped as political concepts. Did you know that?
COVID?
Yeah, did you know that it's a political thing?
Yeah, because it affects our economy.
No, I mean, well, so does Black Lives Matter, because it affects the police brutality and police reform and defunding stuff. I mean that it's a debatable thing.
COVID is debatable, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, did you know that? Like, you know what I mean? Okay, so my point is that it kind of got, June was a really political time, a really political month, because people were debating, like, and people were judging other people, like, oh, so you care more about a pandemic than, like, you know, Black Lives Matter. And I, in a way, like, I know I just, like, mock them with my voice, but I do kind of agree with them. So anyways, I followed all the criteria. Do not worry. I wear a mask, but I still went because, you know, this is a big deal for me. Even though I'm not Black, I'm not Indigenous, but I'm colored. And although I don't understand what it's like to be targeted by the police all the time, like how Black Americans are in America, and you know what, Indigenous people in Canada, we can't forget, police brutality exists here too. You know, I stand with y'all. Like, I wanted to show my support and that I do care about this. But anyways, I wanted to talk about Blue Lives Matter, which sounds ridiculous right off the bat. And it is ridiculous. It was initiated as a counter movement to Black Lives Matter. Now, when you hear counter movement, you already know it's going to be bad. So they're basically protesting Black Lives Matter. And the reason why this is so BS, because I've been acting like it isn't, is because it completely disregards the points of the Black Lives Matter movement. Being blue or having a blue shirt or having a blue profession of being a police officer is a choice. Being Black and having Black skin is not. There, that's it. That's the entire argument. Literally, if you cannot say Blue Lives Matter. Yes, police officers, you know what? Police officers aren't even having their rights taken away. Police officers are not necessarily threatened by the Black Lives Matter movement. The fact that people see the Black Lives Matter movement as a threat to police officers is highly disturbing, and it shows ignorance and misinformation and a lack of education of social issues that are actually going on in our communities that people need to be talking about more.
To be very honest with you, when I hear the movement of Blue Lives Matter, I take it as regard to, okay, I'm not against Black Lives Matter. Definitely not. That's something that needs to be looked at. Definitely. That's something very sensitive to a lot of people, and it should be there. But I also feel like that if African Americans have a voice that they need to portray and they have concerns that they want to be brought up.
Yeah, and the fact that they're being killed.
Yeah, of course. That there are rights that are being taken away from them.
Yeah, the right to life.
Right. That it should definitely be brought up. But at the same time, I feel if police officers or people who support police officers, per se, right, they also have a choice to talk about their concerns. And if they choose to do it in a protest or they choose to do it by starting a movement, I think that's their choice. I don't think that either of them hate one another, I would say, because I don't think a movement should be done just because you hate one topic or you hate one thing, sort of thing, right? I think both of them have their own concerns and they should be brought up. None of them should be put in disregard. That's what I think.
See, I disagree, because I think that when you're going to copy the format and in the, see, there's Black Lives Matter, right? And you're going to substitute black for blue, you're sending a message that is not just, hey, we have a protest that, I don't know, wages, something that police officers could protest about. When you're going to copy the format like that and say that it's blue lives that matter, you're not bringing up your concerns as a police officer. You're bringing up your concerns as a white person, and this is a counter movement to specifically the Black Lives Matter movement. By all means, police officers can protest whatever concerns they have. Hey, I'm not getting paid enough. Hey, look at all these mental health stuff that's going on in the police industry, or not industry, but law enforcement. We need more mental health education. We need more mental health help, really. That they can protest. Mm-hmm. What I don't like and what does not sit right with me is when they try to copy the format and say that blue lives matter, as in, hey, hold on, it's us too. Wait a minute. No, your movement does not matter as much as the, you know, it's a counter movement.
Okay, no,
they're not making their own independent protest. They are protesting Black Lives Matter, which is
Now I understand what you're trying to say here. I think that I agree with what you're saying, because when you say it that way, it almost seems to me that Blue Lives Matter is sort of making fun, the name of it is making fun or disregarding Black Lives Matter. Is that what you're trying to say here?
Yes.
Yeah. If the movement reforms itself in the fact that they come up with a new name. Listen, okay, fine. They come up with a new name. What do you think then they can sort of protest whatever they think or concerns that they want to be brought up?
If they have a movement that is completely different, completely, not just the name, but what they are protesting, if that's completely different than the Blue Lives Matter thing, then Blue Lives Matter. I'm saying that there's Blue Lives Matter, the movement, the counter movement, mm-hmm. and now police officers creating their own movement, a separate movement aside from Blue Lives Matter, where they actually voice their real concerns as police officers. Because there are issues within law enforcement that mm-hmm. I'm sure plenty of officers are trying to address. They should make their own movement aside from Blue Lives Matter, because Blue Lives Matter itself is problematic because it is a counter to Black Lives Matter. It's the opposite. They do oppose each other. It's either your Black Lives Matter or Blue Lives Matter. You can't be both. And that's the right issue.
Let's take a look at some cases that happened in Canada. So first off, let's look at Calgary from back in 2017, where an officer named Alex Dunn, he was touching a girl's hair. So this girl was already in custody and he had approached her and he was touching her hair.
Yeah, it was like in braids or something.
Right. And he kept touching it. And first of all, it was insensitive from the very start, because touching someone's hair, especially when you're a police officer, like, why would you make them feel that way? And when she tried backing away, he literally used brute force to flip her over at that point and he threw her on the ground.
Like, it's not funny, I'm sorry, but it's like so ridiculous, is it not?
Exactly. That's the thing.
It's like she's ridiculous. Already in handcuffs, yet he just goes on to like pick at her hair or something. She reasonably bobs her head away and then he just like picks her up and slams her on the ground.
Right. And I believe this officer is still on the payroll, which astonishes me, because I'm just thinking that why would someone like that, who I'm repeating this over and over, Police are there for the safety of the community. It's not keeping that one thing intact. Also, you can see the blood on the floor. Like, that's ridiculous. That's horrible. She needs surgery for a broken nose now and stitches in her lip. Not even a police officer. What kind of human in their right mind does something like that?
Yeah.
I don't care if you had a valid reason, which you didn't, because you can clearly see in the CCTV footage that he's just trying to back away because he's coming a little too close to her personal space. What's your role on this?
Like I think at this point it was like almost harassment to just go up to someone, and he didn't really have any reason to do it. He was just picking at it. He did not explain that he needed to, that there was something in her hair that needed to be picked off, because she very clearly felt uncomfortable and she kept moving her head away, and she was not being violent. She did not swat at him. You know, her hands were in handcuffs behind her back. She did not resist in any way. She was just backing her head away, which is not necessarily resisting. It's just kind of showing, you know what, can you stop that?
Yeah, and I don't like it. Exactly.
Yeah, like, and then he just kind of thought, okay, and then picked her up and slammed her on the floor. And now she needs stitches and surgery.
Exactly. You see, and I think even in the post, it says that one of the veteran police officer called it, quote unquote, worst use of force he had ever seen. What surprises me the most is that how are these police officers able to stay in the system?
This is a big deal. And for him to overreact so much and use such excessive force is truly disgusting, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It is. And, you know, it goes beyond normal human decency.
Another case that we see of police brutality in Canada, but this one's a little more local, I guess, happened in Mississauga. It was pretty recent, too. It had just happened June 21st, just of this year, 2020. What happened was a police officer fatally shot a man during a mental health call. Basically, what happened was a police officer fatally shot a man and ended up killing him during a mental health call. So this man's name was actually Ijaz Chaudhry, and it happened in June. So it was only like a few months ago. The story is that Ijaz Chaudhry's family called the police because they wanted a mental health call and help, because their father was schizophrenic and he was holding a knife. He seemed dangerous to his family, and that's why they called the police to help them. But because the police officers, when they arrived, they saw that he had a knife in his hand, they started shooting at him. Mm-hmm. And they ended up killing him, or murdering him, really. This is where I like to talk about defunding the police. Just because police officers have so much pressure on their shoulders to be counselors, psychologists, psychiatrists, and dealing with crime, dealing with murder scenes, this is so much. It takes such a huge toll on their mental health. We should just leave mental health stuff to mental health workers. It should be counselors counseling, not police officers. We should leave experts to their fields of expertise. So providing the police with mental health training, I mean, that could mean that they're better equipped, but again, they already have that. They already have supposed mental health training, and this is still how they're acting. It's clearly not good enough. They can't handle it. And I think we should move on from the fact of trying to convince them and trying to make them so that they can deal with mental health, rather than just accept, you know what? These people are not meant to deal with mental health. They're police officers, not health counselors. They should just deal with crime. Let's actually have mental health workers and counselors deal with mental health calls from now on. That call to 911, send these people that are experts in this field, rather than police officers who honestly don't know what they're doing when it comes to mental health.
Ever since our last conversation, I was thinking that you do have a point. It's just that I'm not fully convinced. I want to know what other people think about this.
Great. So, yeah, you know what? We can get other people to comment and head on to our Instagram that we will reveal later, and you know, DM us and ask us questions or make any comments that they would like. I want to talk about another case. Khadija, do you want to talk about the one in Guelph?
So we're not fully aware of all the facts, but we do wanted to bring up the case just because it involved teenagers. These kids had gone to an abandoned house in Gulf, and the kids say that they were charged with trespassing, destruction of property, littering, and breaking and entering.
The issue is that this is a video that was posted on social media, and it basically shows these colored and black teenagers being arrested by police, and one of them keeps screaming, "This is police brutality. This is police brutality." So now we're trying to evaluate, is it really police brutality? Because we saw just now two cases, Mississauga and Calgary, that were legitimate police brutality and an abuse of power, right? Now we're looking at two cases that happened more locally, but videos on social media that went viral, and we're and their people in the video are saying, "This is police brutality, you're abusing me." But when we took a look at them, we don't know if they're actually, if they're, it's actually cops doing their job, or if it's actually an abuse of power.
Right. Because again, I want to bring back the point where you said that people tend to resist and that might provoke police officers to take the steps that they do. But I feel that if a person is mistaken, I believe if these teenagers were mistaken to be in that building just for the teenage thrill, I don't think they should have been, you know, handled that way.
Yeah, and there was another case actually in Kitchener. This 15-year-old black man on the ground, and he's being arrested by like four different police officers. They're all trying to handcuff him, and his friend is like screaming, and his friend's like, you know, let go of him, he didn't do anything wrong, right? And it's made to seem like this is police brutality, and we don't know the context, of course, because it just started out with chaos and some like violence to that extent, to a certain extent. But we don't know if one officer certainly did try to de-escalate the situation. There's still a lot of details missing. We don't know if they started off being aggressive or if, you know, the teens were kind of resistant, because there was, because on one video that I saw on social media, it was showing just this, and the caption, because it was an Instagram post, and the caption said, "Look at these teens, you know, police brutality in Kitchener." And then I saw a different post saying that these teens got arrested and it turned so chaotic like this because they were actually accused of doing of trespassing and damaging property or something, and the police officer came and told them, you know what, you guys gotta go, and they spit on him, which is assault. But the other post says that he spit on the ground next to him, which isn't really assault. The point is that I had to get the full story, and I still don't even have the full story. We still have, there's still a lot of details missing, but I had to look at two different Instagram posts to figure out the gist of what happened. And it seems like there's an omission of information for the benefit and to fit a certain narrative of each Instagram account. You know, so different sources are saying different things to make a certain story. So that's why it's so hard to tell the truth. And this kind of goes into the media and how when the media views everything, it's so biased, which is why whenever I try to look at a certain event that happened, I read multiple articles. You can't just read one and think you have the full story. So as we've seen with these two cases, with the Kitchener and the Guelph case, it was initially made to seem like police brutality, when in fact, it really wasn't. It was just two groups of teenagers misbehaving, and then they didn't like being arrested and being confronted by cops, so they twisted it to make it seem like they were the ones being the victims and being abused, which is such a pressing issue on how that, on how we need proper journalism. It reminds me of the story, The Boy Who Cried Wolf. It takes away from actual cases of police brutality like we've seen in Calgary and Mississauga. Those two are actual cases of police abuse, police brutality. These two cases with Kitchener and Guelph are not. So when the media keeps making everything seem like police brutality, that's an issue. It takes away importance and significance from actual issues. Because of this, again, with the idea, The Boy Who Cried Wolf, it seems like the next time something big happens and the next time a police brutality case happens, people aren't going to take it seriously. People are going to ask, okay, but were they resisting? What's the story? Yeah. What's the context? When really that should be irrelevant in cases where people are shot dead.
Mm-hmm. You know, Mama, you bring up a really good point because it's almost like we're normalizing the wrong situations. And when we do that, we're taking away from the real seriousness that's there. And every single time when something actually serious comes up, we're like, oh, this happens in our everyday lives, whatever. We become so norm and we become so numb to it that it doesn't even matter to us anymore. A lot of times people just post these stuff and they think they've done their job. But at the same time, if you don't post the right content, then you're not giving people the right vision. A lot of times people just accept it. And that's where it turns wrong. Because people tend to think that, oh, now the police is not there to protect me. They're just here to violate me. So they lose that trust.
Yeah, in terms of normalization, desensitization, I do the exact same when it comes to social media. If it's covered by something that says sensitive content, I don't look at it. And people are sharing the stuff on their stories on Instagram. And I honestly, I don't share it unless there's some useful information. Like unless there's a clear headline or text that shows very clearly what the context is. And or unless there's some sort of resource people can go to sign a petition or to donate, I don't share it.
The best thing to do is not forward wrong content. I think that's one of the best things you can do, because when you're promoting wrong content, then you're just saying that you believe in it. And now that people who know you, who are surrounded by you, they tend to think, oh, if this person is saying that, it must be of value. You need to start questioning things that you post. And I'm going to be very honest, I'm still learning that. Because right. A lot of times I would end up believing something if I see a post. If it seems genuine, I don't really do research. But at the same time, I'm still learning that. Like, I'll think that, am I doing the right thing? Like, literally, a lot of times I've posted things on my story and I don't delete them. Because I'll be like, I'm not really sure if I just shared the right content.
Mm-hmm. I think that's so important.
Yeah, if no one takes anything away from this podcast, one thing I want to say is like, please, please, please start questioning things you see on social media, because a lot of times social media tends to exaggerate a lot of content and promote the wrong content. If you feel that there's a doubt there, then make it known that we're not sure. Hey, I'm posting this video, but I'm not really sure if it's the right content. So people at least question the people who see, you know, people who tend to see your posts. But that's just my opinion. Please do take away from the fact that, like, stop posting wrong content.
You know, we like to think ourselves as reliable sources, but really whenever you listen to our podcast and you hear statistics, you should be looking it up. That's what I do, right?
Yeah. Like, don't believe everything we say. This is our opinion. It's based on some things that we see. But again, question it yourself.
Yeah, definitely look these cases up and make your own opinion.
Right. Sure. And do let us know what you think. We'd love to hear. Yeah,
let us know what you think.
All right. So now that you know our opinions, we talked about the law, the Black Lives Matter, police brutality in Canada, in our communities, and in our own neighborhoods.
Okay. Here is our special announcement.
Ready?
Yeah.
No, we can work around drum roll, so that's fine.
No. I think that drum roll was fine.
Next week, we will be interviewing a police officer. We're not sure as of yet if they're going to be from region close to either Laurier's campus sites, but stay tuned.
So we will be asking a bunch of questions, and you know what? I'm 100% sure that a lot of people listening may have questions for this police officer, which is why if you do have any questions, ask us. And your questions will be featured anonymously, of course, on our next episode. So the Instagram is Let's Talk Local. So it's LETS.TALK.LOCAL. So that's our Instagram. Follow us And you can DM us questions, comments, but also DM us your questions for the police officer.
Right. And even in the future, because we do the show for you guys, for us to know more information. So if you guys have future topics that you want to us to discuss about, we'd love to hear it.
For sure. For sure. Any suggestions at all? You know, we're so open to hearing it. You know, and we're pretty tough. We can take criticism too. If you have something that you want to say, just say it. We don't care. So yeah, that concludes our show for today. Thank you so much to everyone who's listening, and we'll see you in the next episode.